Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Operation Earth, comedians chatting about climate change. I am Dr. Matt Winning. I'm an environmental researcher and stand-up comedian. I've been doing both of those for over a decade now. Basically, what I used to do was do comedy to kind of lighten my mood and tried not to think about the impending doom of the planet. But now I think it's time to talk about it and actually address it head on. So every week I have a different special guest and we chat about news stories. We will go through a carbon footprint calculator, see how green they are. Basically, like in Top Gear, where, you know, they have like who's the fastest celebrity. We're going to find out who the greenest one is. It's basically a podcast for people who care about our climate emergency but aren't doing much about it. This is for you. Oh, hello there. The guest on the podcast this week is Ben Clark, one third of the sketch group Pappies, who were in 8 of 10 Cats This Countdown. They had their own show, Badults. Ben was in Game Faces, a very good actor himself. As Pappies, they have several podcasts as well. Pappies Flatshare Slamdown, Pappies Bangers and Mash, loads of stuff. And Ben this year as well wrote with his partner a short film called The Blue Door, which was nominated for Best Short Film at the BAFTAs. So the guy does loads of stuff, and this is a lovely chat that Ben and I had chatting about the climate. Here we go. Ben Clark.
View full results. Okay, you're joining us here at this point as we've been looking over Ben's carbon footprint, which we've calculated on the WWF footprint calculator.
Hi guys.
WWF.
Yes.
And we're looking at the results. 11.7 tons. I mean, it means absolutely nothing in any context, but if we split it down, basically,
yeah,
about a quarter of your carbon footprint is food, it says. Home is about 16%. Stuff is about 17%, so almost the same. And then almost half of it's travel, so 43% is that.
I really didn't think my travel would be that bad. I didn't drive that much.
Traveling about. So let's look at your food. Your consumption is equal to one small car.
Oh dear.
Based on
I eat the equivalent of a small car
every year.
every year.
I mean,
wowee.
You're going to want to choose a nice car if you're going to
a delicious car.
There are
car.
People that do that, aren't there? There's like people that
eat. It's like Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah.
Type, yeah, I remember that kind of stuff.
Maybe
someone ate like a small plane or something at some point. I mean, if we all switched to eating modes of transport, we could really save the planet. That's a two-pronged attack.
Absolutely. So we stop going places and we just all try to get in the Guinness Book of Records for being the person that eat, like, I ate a Boeing 747 over the course of 5 years. These people are heroes that we've just not talked about.
I know, that's it. I mean, if we could all do that, guys, we could really save the planet.
Yeah, so have a think.
I don't know if it's good for your gut health.
I guess the other thing is you have to make those cars. It seems like a bit of a waste of like all the materials that goes into a car and then someone eats it.
Yeah, but then all the materials goes into farming. Think of that.
Oh,
you see.
Hey. Very good. So you get some tips here as well on your food. So eat in season. That kind of needs, it sort of requires you becoming a farmer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a good point. I suppose we should learn. The more we learn, the better we'll be.
But I think we need somebody to, like, people aren't going to go and...
Well, you should be that person.
You think me? I need to learn as well. I don't know enough about,
you could have a little section
growing
at
seasons.
The end okay. of your podcast uh-huh. each week yeah. where you say which foods are in season,
yeah.
what you should be eating, okay. around about this month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little tips, little actual tips.
Is it monthly?
Yeah, it'd be like seasons. So that, yeah. that would be like spring or the growing season. I don't know, yeah.
Great. There's a new section for you. You can do it at the end of this podcast.
Great. So I'll add something at the end of the podcast telling you when to eat. What would you like to know about season wise?
I think normally it's to do with the fruit and veg, isn't it? Obviously,
yeah.
Obviously. Okay. I think normally. But yeah, so I guess...
Asparagus season.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah?
I love a bit of asparagus, mate.
I'm coming round to it. It's taking me a while, but I'm getting there.
I mean, it's a bit spendy.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think they often come from quite far, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, all the good stuff does,
it
doesn't
does, it? Doesn't it? Like the
all
nice
the delicious food, like cows.
What have we got here? Like potatoes.
I mean, I like a potato, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
A delicious croquette, yes, please.
But like...
Carrots, are they bad? I love carrots.
No, I think carrots are pretty good. I mean, we can definitely grow carrots around these parts.
Okay.
Other tips, eat in season, eat less meat and dairy. Okay, because we said that.
That's the problem.
You eat quite a lot of meat.
I eat quite a lot of meat. I've almost completely cut out dairy.
That's good.
And that was down to your recommendation.
That was me.
Chiefly on the oat milk. We'd already started.
Yeah.
We'd started, but we weren't particularly enjoying it. But when you suggested the, what's the oat milk?
Oatly
Barista Edition.
I've started drinking. There's like a, it's a bit, I think I've been worrying about myself, get slightly guilty about this. There's like a...
I've been worried about you as well.
There's like a coffee, like a cold brew coffee with almond milk.
Oh, yeah.
But then I think almond milk is pretty bad. Like the amount of water it takes is something like 15 times the amount of oat. So it's not actually bad for, like, the carbon footprint isn't bad, but it's the amount of water.
Right.
But it's from California. And so it's getting imported. And I've been buying one maybe every second big shop that I do. And it's like, I feel a bit, cause it's so tasty, but it's like 60% coffee, 40% almond milk. And it's so good. But I'm like, there is no local version of it.
Yeah.
So I need to just...
Well, I mean, coffee itself, there's no local version of that, is there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing I'm struggling with myself at the moment, is the more aware of things you become, first of all, I find that I can become a bit of a bore.
Yep. Yep.
Because almost anything you can point at and go, well,
you shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't really be having this, that, and the other.
You don't want to be that guy.
No.
Everybody hates that guy.
And then the other thing is, like, growing up a Christian, just racked with guilt.
Guilt, yeah.
So I got
yeah.
rid of all that business.
It's coming back. Guilt's
back in fashion, guys.
It is. I did talk about that a little bit in the last show that I did, about how climate change is very similar to religion in that way, that it's like you need to give up all your sinful pleasures at the moment to, you know, for some sort of far-off, distant benefit that nobody quite knows if it's actually going to happen and all that sort of stuff. So it feels a bit like religion. It's like, and we need to get away from that because, I mean, clearly that guilt thing doesn't actually work.
Yeah, no. I guess it is. It's kind of finding the positives rather than the negatives.
Exactly. It's like the positives of religion, you know, the sort of community aspects or whatever. We need that sort of thing, but with climate change, like people being like, oh, let's make the world better rather than being like, I shouldn't be.
I'm making my life worse.
Yeah, I shouldn't be having sex with my brother or whatever it is.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about now?
Anyway, just guilty people with...
Could you stop having sex with my brother, please?
Apologies. Less meat and dairy. So you've managed to cut your
I've managed to cut my dairy down.
Great.
Now,
you enjoying that?
I'm totally fine with it.
Great.
Now, the one thing I haven't cut out on the dairy side of things is butter and cheese.
Okay.
But I'm not I don't have heaps of either.
Yeah.
I feel okay about the amount I have of both. But meat, bad boy when it comes to meat. I'm very terrible.
What's your favourite?
All of it.
All the meats.
Yeah.
Just as long as it's dead animals, you'll...
Yum, yum, yum.
Stick it in.
Stick it in my mouth.
Have a lovely time.
Yeah.
Have you tried any like meat substitute stuff?
I do. I've been buying some Stella McCartney.
Stella McCartney jackets.
Some jackets, yeah. Stella McCartney clothes. No, some Linda McCartney sausages.
Yeah,
and they're pretty good. I like veggie sausages.
I think they're pretty good. I had them though.
They're just kind of different. I think if you're expecting it to be exactly like a sausage, then you might be disappointed. But
I think that's the thing. I think most of it's like it's slightly different, and it's just you have to try it. See if you actually like it, and if you do, keep going with it. And if you don't,
that's it.
Try something else. Right, we're moving on to home now. So we went through home. You live in a flat.
I live in a flat.
With another person.
I do.
There's two of you in the flat. There's one bed.
There's, yes.
Oh, here we go.
I know.
You did say you don't have a renewable energy provider.
Ah, now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Dr. Winning.
Mm-hmm.
You put me onto Bulb.
Oh, yeah. Company.
And I started using those in my last flat. Yeah. Very, very satisfied.
Great.
Actually saved money in the process of feeling quite good about ourselves.
Great.
And then we moved to this new place, and it's a new build.
Yep.
All of this is new to me.
Lovely. New build.
And they're like, this is your service provider. And it's E.ON. And they're like, that's it. You can't pick anyone else.
So that's very mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
They like force you to have a certain... And the whole build, is it like the whole building?
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know how green or not they are. I presume not very.
E.ON. Well, I think they use... And I don't know. This is me. What I'll do is I'll go and research this properly and add a little bit in here. But I think because they're a French company, a lot of their stuff is nuclear. Because most of France's electricity is nuclear, and we import a bunch of stuff. But I don't know.
So that's not as bad. It's not ideal, but it's not as bad.
Yeah,
right?
It's not as bad. No, nuclear is pretty good. It's just there's other issues with nuclear that people have.
Well, let's not go into that today. Why don't we just skip past that?
Quick clarification. Turns out E.ON are actually a German company. I was an idiot. They're not French and therefore don't provide lots of nuclear. They're German. But, quick fact, as of the 9th of July 2019, E.ON have decided that they're going to supply 100% of their electricity is going to be renewable for all of their UK customers. That's 3.3 million people. Pretty good news. So there you go.
Seems pretty mad that you can't in this day and age you can't even choose your own energy provider.
We were very upset by it. Maybe there's just one input.
Yeah.
So.
And so everybody has to be for some reason.
Tied to one thing.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I could go round because we've got
get everyone to switch.
We've got a WhatsApp group.
You've got a whole building WhatsApp.
Whole building.
Okay. How many flats are in the building?
There are, I think 17.
Wow, 17. And whoever is in charge of that WhatsApp group has a lot of power at their fingertips.
She does.
She's going to be like, oh, guys, why don't we do this thing? And everyone's going to be like, well, we need to see if the other... you don't want to be the first person answering those questions.
There are already kind of leaders in the group emerging as well. People,
People who are keen to reply.
Yeah, well, there's a couple who've got like... The big, nice flat.
Oh, up the top.
Up the top.
Oh, penthouse guys.
The penthouse guys.
Do you know that? Have you met the penthouse guys?
I've met the penthouse guys. They're very lovely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
They're quite. It is actually. There are kind of three big flats.
Right.
And it feels like they're the most.
Power.
They're the most like dominant in the chat.
Wow, this is kind of like getting Game of Thrones style. There's like the family.
There's a hierarchy.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy.
I gotta tell you, me and Megan, we're the bottom feeders. It does mean that we're in the public spaces. Uh-huh. We'll say hello to each other, and you kind of get to know who people are.
Nice. I think that sounds really great.
I like it,
and it means you maybe be able to fix questions. Quicker than just being like, we need to go around and knock on
their
door one by one.
Because they told us we couldn't have barbecues in the public space. But as a group,
F them.
We've all been like, do you know what, guys? let's have a barbecue.
Are you going to have Linda McCartney sausages in your barbecue? Or are you going to?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lovely summer barbecue. Well, I can't wait to be invited round for a barbecue at some point.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be in the WhatsApp group to be invited.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's one of those. It's not open to outsiders. Okay. So anything else? Oh, we were going to talk about lights on standby, keeping your lights and your appliances on standby as well.
Yes. Okay.
You had a bit of an issue with this.
I do. Well, I don't know how clearly I've been misinformed.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I've been misinformed. I have read that
I'm probably not going to know the answer to this.
Putting things on standby isn't as bad as all that. Right. Having things on standby. Uh-huh. Normally, you know, for example, I think the big one that everyone used to know was like, don't put your television on standby.
Yeah.
And that comes from like...
Switch it off.
That's a different time. Yeah. That was when televisions had a, what is that, like a coil and
big
everything
thing
that
back.
Had to be, electrified. And it would basically mean that when it was almost using up as much power as when it was off.
Yeah.
Whereas now with our new fandangled TVs,
everything
that ain't the case.
Yeah.
I have a projector. Don't mean to brag.
Oh, yeah.
But nice. I turned that off because that's got a big fan and everything.
Did you have a TV and a projector?
No, just the projector.
Oh, wow. Great. I don't have a TV. I've only got a big MacBook kind of screen.
Oh, yes. I've been around. I've seen it.
And a projector as well. But I only use a projector very rarely. I'd say for like, you know, watching Gladiator once a week.
Oh, yeah. Of course, your weekly watch of Gladiator.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Standby. I mean...
I don't actually know what I leave on standby, but there are like, you know, I don't turn off like my internet router at night.
Yeah.
Stuff like
no,
that.
No, exactly. I don't know. But I think it's weird. I think I've become worse now that I know that all my electricity is renewable. I'm like, what does it matter if it's on standby?
Oh.
Because it's all green anyway. So I can just leave everything
that's
on.
That's an interesting point.
But then I don't know if that's... So there's like a kind of what we would call like a backfire effect. So it's like... You improve the efficiency of something, but then people go, well, I'm just going to use that more now that it's like cheaper or something. So
I'm sure this is a point that somebody's made before. Uh-huh. I'm sure I've heard this before, so I'm not claiming that this is my idea.
Yeah.
But is there something in like having a gym that you go
yes.
and like...
I've seen there's like a video online of like a gym where you go and it powers the gym
yes.
itself.
Yes, I think I have as well. Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
But that would be great.
We just need
you're losing
more
weight, but you're gaining energy.
Yeah. But I guess it's powering the lights in the gym
that
you're going to.
In that gym. So it's like, but then or you know, in a new build house, you have a built,
yeah.
you have a built an engine. Exercise bike in the, you know, that, yeah. that kind of pulls out the wall.
Yeah. So if your partner wants to go for a shower, you need to go and do 20 minutes on the exercise bike.
You have to earn that shower.
I think that's the way forward for everybody. It's like, you want to do this? You want to watch the next episode of Westworld? You got to go and do run for 30 minutes. And then it's like you feel much better about it. You're earning that episode
there's no kind of couch potatoes.
Exactly. And then people get to watch stuff, but we watch like half the amount of stuff and you do all of the exercise.
So that would be so amazing. Like you'd come into work the next day and everyone would be like, whoa, you look really good. You look really hench. You're like, yeah, binge watched a series of Game of Thrones over the weekend. So yeah.
So I'm really totally ripped now.
Come out looking like the mountain.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant.
The Olympics should be able to self-power itself and the rest of the world for like a month or something like
that. And also there's that thing, isn't there? If you get your own solar panels and stuff and you have like a, I don't know how it works.
Sure, don't worry.
I'm not claiming to be a scientist, you guys,
but
I'm sure there's a thing where people, if they have like a surplus of power, they can sell it back to their power suppliers.
Yeah. It just depends. Yeah, anyway, we won't go into it, but yeah.
But I mean, if there was an idea that you could actually earn, I'm sure it would be like you'd go for a 30-minute bike ride and you'd earn 20p or something. But I mean...
I'm pretty sure there's a weird Black Mirror episode where they do that as well at the start. Do they not have to like...
It seems too positive for a Black Mirror.
Yeah, we are sort of coming up with a more positive version of it. And there it's like you have to do it to eat or something. I don't know.
Gold Mirror. That's going to be our series.
Ah.
Where we
where it's
we come up with the virtues of technology and how we can save
through Olympians.
Yes, that's it.
Really positive version of everything's just really good. Everything happens and just it's excellent. Technology. The world's a much better place.
Yeah, and so you could be like, oh, this is like an episode of Gold Mirror.
Gold Mirror. It's weird because I think. Because people, I feel like we as humans are. It's difficult to solve climate change because we need to have like positive visions of the future. But yes. we're so fascinated nowadays by like really negative visions of the future, or like coming up with ideas of how horrible things are going to be. It's really difficult for us to be like, because there's more of a story to it. There's more of a, like,
there's drama in it. You're never going to have a post-apocalyptic film that is like, oh, it's actually quite nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all worked out pretty well.
Everything's fine. Tipping point. Environmental tip of the week. If you like a milky coffee, like a latte, because you're a big baby and you need a big glass of warm milk, why not try changing your milk? Environmental tip of the week. Tipping points.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Shall we, very quickly, there's some stuff on stuff.
Sure.
Stuff that you do. Your consumption is equal to 2 medium-haul flights from stuff. So that's like a return flight to somewhere.
Oh, dear.
Just from the stuff that you buy, which is... I thought
I was doing pretty well on stuff.
I thought you were.
Well.
Yeah, you said you bought, like, not much on beauty and health. You didn't buy much on trainers and clothes.
No.
Maybe a present for someone, so you're being selfless, essentially, there.
Yeah, I'm not big into spending money on those things.
So I don't know where the stuff.
The thing is, there was the question about have you bought a laptop or phone or anything in the last 12 months?
Yeah.
I haven't.
That's mad.
But then I will do at some point.
Yeah.
That's not to say that I've given up buying those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just haven't in the last 12 months.
I'm quite. at the moment, our washing machine's just like gone completely. Drum has fallen through it. But it happened the day after there was a climate change documentary on David Attenborough on BBC One, and there's a bit where they talk about how bad, you know, like a washing machine, all the different parts that go into the washing machine, and then the next day our washing machine broke, and I was like, oh no, I'm never going to wash any clothes again.
I tell you what, actually. On this front, because I've started feeling really guilty about using, again, it's this guilt thing. You turn on, we've got a dishwasher, turn it on, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. It doesn't need all this just to clean in it.
Do you fill the dishwasher up? I think that's the main
thing. I fill it up to the max, and I always put it on an eco wash. Even the eco wash is 50 degrees, and that's hot, right?
Yeah, that's hot.
And it goes on for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it dries it afterwards or whatever.
Yeah.
Just for your pots and pans or whatever.
Yeah.
I try and do hand washing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all about the hands. I've not had a dishwasher since I was like, 15 or something.
Got one. My girlfriend likes it. It's a mini one. It's like a half size one.
Right, right. That's
I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
Probably worse.
And with the probably worse. And with the washing machine, you know, make sure it's a nice full wash.
Yeah.
I put it on 30%.
30. You know, 30 degrees.
And I also put it on its least because you can change how long the cycle goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put it on
that's
for
it's good
you
think, but you're already thinking about it. At least you're thinking about it. That's good. The dishwasher is something I wish I could do. Like, I love having a dishwasher. I just haven't had one for like 15 years. And I'm like, I hate washing up.
Oh,
like,
really?
I absolutely detest washing up. But I kind of, it's not like I don't do it, you know, like it's just, I'll do it quite a lot. My partner probably does even more. But I hate it kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if the dishwasher is just out of sight, you just stick it in the dishwasher.
I think that's the thing.
And you keep filling, yeah. you know, until it's filled up. And then you stick it on. Whereas I'm like, oh, there's a few plates. I want to get rid of those plates. They're annoying me just sitting there. And then I get frustrated. It just adds this level of frustration to my life that I've probably you've seen an insight into me.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting there staring at dishes, not doing anything about them. Wanting to throw them away.
I don't mind doing a bit of washing up. So I find it quite therapeutic.
Ironing I quite like.
I never
surprisingly
iron.
I don't do much, but I actually quite enjoy it. Whereas
I iron a shirt for a wedding, and that is the only time I iron anything.
Oh, weddings! We never talked about that. We were going to briefly talk about people having weddings abroad.
Oh, mate!
Yes. So you took two flights last year. You said one to Greece and one was
for a holiday.
Yeah.
The other was for a wedding.
Yeah. And this is a case. I mean, this is where we're at now in society. It's like it used to be nobody flew, right? Maybe like 50 years ago.
It's true.
And now
it's true.
It's like, oh, you go on holiday once a year. Okay, fine. But now it's like there's other things that are getting you to fly that aren't even just taking that one holiday a year.
Yes, totally.
And that's where we need to cut down that extra nonsense.
Well, I have two abroad weddings this year.
Two abroad weddings in 1 year.
Yeah.
Plus, you're probably going to go on. What do you think?
Maybe.
That's tough. This is kind of related to what we were just talking about flying. Ryanair is now one of Europe's top polluters. Basically,
would think they wouldn't be so bad because they pack people in so mercilessly.
You would think so, but I think this is in terms of like total emissions. So it's like megatons of CO2. The top emitters have always been coal plants, but this is the first time ever that something that isn't a coal plant has come into the top 10 emitters in Europe.
Wow.
So it's all like Poland, Germany, Bulgaria, different coal plants, and now it's Ryanair.
Is there a chance
mm-hmm.
that is because there are fewer coal plants?
That's the thing. So it's probably partly a reduction in coal plants, but also at the same time an increase in the amount of people taking...
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it, that the potential forward momentum is taken...
away.
Yeah, taken away by...
But it's the same thing. There's always like things that get better in one way, but also we're doing more of this thing, which is getting worse. And so you never quite know how it's going to balance out. And you're going away twice this year.
Yeah, two weddings.
It's tough.
France. Do you know what, actually? One is France. Yeah. I might have already booked our flights, actually. France and Italy. I was thinking we could do it on the train.
So that's what I just did. So we went skiing for a week. That's probably my week's holiday this year, was going skiing for a week. And I took my wife skiing for the first time. But I insisted that we get the train all the way there. So we picked a place that would still have snow in April and that we could get a train.
Okay.
And we took it directly from St. Pancras all the way to the bottom of the mountain, like where we were staying.
Wow.
It was amazing. And it took like 12 hours. So it was like we left at 10 in the morning and got there at 10 at night and like had to change one or two times.
I mean, that's the thing. I do find that with flights is that you think you're getting this experience that's way quicker.
Yeah.
But actually, with all the faff at the start and the end, I quite like just getting on a train and sitting on it. So we had when we were doing our series back in the day up in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah.
And we took the train up.
Available on...
Netflix. It was available on Netflix first season. Second series available nowhere. Didn't even put it on DVD.
YouTube? Can you stick it up on YouTube?
You might be able to find it on YouTube.
Bad adults, ladies and gentlemen.
Bad adults. Be kind. Be kind, guys.
I loved it.
Thanks, mate. So anyway, yes, we took a train up and a flight back.
Yeah.
And the train was definitely the nicer option.
Yes.
It was a much more comfortable experience. And actually, in terms of, it feels like the train took longer.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, with the faff of getting to, and I hate going on flights.
Yeah.
I hate the faff going to the airport. I always get huge anxiety that I'm going to miss the flight.
I get such bad anxiety.
So I have to go really early just to try and ease that.
Yep.
And
yeah, you have to go early because you're like, oh, we need to be. Whereas with the train, you're just like, well, the train leaves when the train leaves.
Yeah, I get trains every day. It's fine.
I'm not having to like go through endless security.
Yeah,
and all of people, that. But you know,
yeah, all that faff.
Yeah,
you just go to a train and you get to sit in a seat, the same seat for the whole journey. Yeah. In pop a film on your laptop and all the rest of it. I'd be quite happy with that.
I think it's
play like cards. It's way more comfortable.
I think it's just that trade-off. It took, I think, so two of our friends went, I'll talk about them as well, because they're getting married in Australia. Ooh. One of my best friends getting married in Australia at the end of this year, and we're not going. And I feel, for a couple of reasons. One, it's just really expensive.
Yes, I was going to say. We're saving the planet, guys.
And we've got some work
stuff.
And my bank account. So instead, we went together to France for a week and went skiing.
Oh, nice.
So we did something with them. It seems really nice. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I can't actually go to Australia for a wedding. And they totally understand it. She's from Australia.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
The year after this, I have a wedding in Australia to go to as well.
It's just, and that's like the work, because it's so much worse because it's so far away. The
That's like having, you know.
Like, I can't imagine. That's like your year's emissions or something. You know, I can't remember exactly how much it'll be, but it'll be huge. It'll be like.
Yeah.
And so the more people do this sort of, let's have our weddings abroad thing.
Yeah. I mean, the difficult thing, they live out there and it's my girlfriend's brother. So.
Okay. Yeah. But that's the thing. The world is a complicated place now. So it's really much, it's like harder to.
Avoid.
Not fly, because people are, you know, about the world a lot more. It's tough.
So I think basically what we're saying is don't get married.
So one thing you can do with flights is pay extra to offset your carbon emissions by people going and planting trees. So if I fly now, I spend money.
What?
Extra money.
What is this?
Yeah, so carbon offset. I mean, it's not like a good, I don't like it that much. But if I do have to fly, I'll then spend the extra money to cover the cost of the carbon emissions that you would have had. So this, you can basically like go on some websites. We'll find some. I'll name some at the end of the episode or whatever. And then you go on there and you pay like, I don't know, £50 to offset your flights.
Wow.
And it makes you feel a little bit better. But it's not ideal. It's better that you don't do it.
Sure.
Because then you don't know, you know, who's planting the trees or whether they're.
Yeah,
you don't know anything, you know. I
use this Ecosia's search engine. Mm, I think I spoke to you about this before.
Yeah, I've started using it as well.
Oh, have you? Yeah. Great, because they said a couple of different things. First of all, that they use they plant a tree.
Yeah,
they say they started off saying they do it kind of every time you do an internet search. It doesn't exactly work out like that. I think it works out every 45 searches, but it's every one search if you click on an ad, because obviously that's I kind of do sometimes now. So when you type in a search, normally your first three options are all ads, and you skip past those and actually go into the searches. But if you click on an ad, because they get more money for that.
Got you.
So basically, it was like, I think it's like half of everything they earn, they put towards going on trees. More importantly, they use entirely green energy to run everything. And because I saw a statistic the other day that in terms of like power usage, if the internet was a country, it would be like the third biggest user of power.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be behind. It'd be like USA, China, and then the internet.
And then the internet. Yeah, no, I think I've heard something similar. So the internet actually accounts for around about 2% of global emissions. That's the manufacturing and travel associated with parts, as well as the cooling and other things like that. It's pretty big. It's a bit slightly bigger perhaps than the entire aviation industry. So, you know, maybe logging off the internet and not looking at your phone is actually a really good way to try and reduce emissions. And if you are going to use cloud stuff, then perhaps try finding a green cloud provider. There you go. What is it called again? It's Ecosia. Which is the search engine that plants trees, ECOSIA. Yeah, I started using them on one of my computers. I definitely, maybe on, I'm not good on this one, but on my work computer.
So yes,
it's a good idea.
Yeah, you can just switch. You can switch really easily just via their website. And now, just every time I search, I don't have to go to Ecosia to search. Yeah. I just open up a tab, and my search engine is now Ecosia, and I just use them. And
that's great because trees suck up carbon dioxide.
They do indeed. So
that's the whole thing with the carbon offset for your flights, to basically pay people to plant enough trees to offset what you would have emitted.
And I guess it's not ideal, no. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, the price of flying versus trains, I think that's like the main thing that I would, or certainly one of the main things that I would like campaign on in terms of like change. That has to change. Like, you need to subsidise public trains more, and you need to tax flying properly because it's not taxed properly.
Yeah, I mean, we are in a bonkers situation where, it's been that way for the last decade or so, where you look at flights and go, it's so cheap, you can go anywhere.
It's mad, isn't
it? For like £50.
Yeah, and that's just not...
Whereas you go, I've got I have a train journey up to Wolverhampton and look online and be like, what is going on? Yeah. This would cost me less to fly to Spain. Getting a train at,
Is people surprised at that? But it's like, it shouldn't be that way.
No.
And it needs to change.
Yeah,
totally. That's clearly a problem that we need to change. This was a fact that I was trying to tell people, that it would take you 2 years of being vegan to be able to take like a return flight to New York, the equivalent. So you could go vegan for 2 years, and that return flight to New York would completely offset all that good stuff.
I think that's the other tricky thing when you hear stats like that.
Yeah,
is it's easy to then go,
what's the point? Exactly.
And that's the point.
It's not exactly. You need to do what you do and do.
Take the little victories.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing with I've seen it loads with the protests going on at the moment.
Oh yeah,
people going like, yeah, they're still using mobile phones and that. How did they get to the protest?
Yeah.
What they did, they walk there?
Yeah,
you're like, you're really missing the point there, guys.
Those people are the worst, aren't they? People that are just
But if you're listening, I don't think you're the worst. I think you could. Be one of the good guys.
Be one of the good guys.
Come over to our side.
Yeah, everybody's just very snarky at the moment.
I get it as well, because I couldn't help but feel Emma Thompson's came over from LA to talk, and you're like, well, you've just taken a long haul flight to come and talk about environmental issues.
Yeah.
But if she comes over and there are 100 people in that crowd that are like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to change my life, then it was very much worthwhile. So,
It's tough. I think she was saying like she would take, she would take a low carbon option if there was, but there isn't.
Yeah, so of course.
It's about trying to change that system to get those options available. Otherwise,
we need solar power planes, guys.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
We're a while off yet. Or quite a while off
yet. Yeah,
maybe if you own a plane.
You get a hybrid,
tiny one man
hybrid plane.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll get into it. It was a whole other episode.
Of course.
Planes, trains, and hybrid automobiles. I don't know. If you got any questions for me or anything you are particularly interested in or want to know about...
I was going to ask, if you were God for a day, what would you do?
Oh, God, it's getting religious at the moment.
Well, you had the power to affect
everything.
You get the option.
Yeah. To do something.
To do like one key thing, what would be the thing you would choose?
I'd probably take, if it was Sunday, I'd take a day off. in terms of fixing climate change, what would I do?
Yeah.
What would be the main thing?
I mean, I'd pick being invisible, but
what would I do? I mean, something that isn't crazy, like something... If I was the head of the world for a day, is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah. But I think,
if I was God for a day, I'd plant like a billion trees, and then they would soak up all the carbon and would be fine.
Yes.
Like, but that's like a God thing that I could do, because I'd be like, bam,
done.
Trees everywhere. Yeah. Whereas if it was like,
but then,
more like a practical thing.
Yes. Go on.
It'd be probably changing. It's hard to do stuff. I'd probably just change transport. I'd ban all new petrol and diesel cars as soon as possible, but also be like, right, all this money needs to get spent on like other types of transport.
Yeah.
I think transport's like the big one that it's the next big thing So we've had all like solar and, or, you know, there's our electricity can be green now, but it's like the transport stuff. Like,
and that, and am I right in thinking there's been good positive change in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it's just that the increase in demand by more people and more people wanting stuff has also offset a lot of the positive change.
Sure.
So it's like the change needs to happen quicker and we need to stop sort of doing as much unnecessary stuff as well. I don't know. So yeah, I guess transport would be my
So area. I remember from your show.
Oh yeah. Ben, we should be open about this. You directed both of my last...
I did.
Edinburgh Festival shows. There will be another show this year at 4:20 p.m. Pleasance Courtyard every day. Oh, nice. Matt Winning. It's called, what is it called? It's the end of the world as we know it.
There
brackets,
you go.
And I feel fine, brackets, but not all the time.
Very nice. There we go. So you had a graph about how different things were changing.
Yeah.
And lots of things were going down.
Down, yeah,
but
yeah.
Public transport was just a constant.
In the UK, transport has been, our emissions from transport are the same as they were in like 1990. Whereas our electricity emissions have gone down loads, like our power emissions, and then our emissions from industry have gone down. A lot of that's because industries have gone elsewhere. So we won't get into that just now.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But there's, but you know, our industries have become more efficient, but transport's just the same. So in the UK, it's like the increase in demand, you know, people are wanting more transport, and so that's not been offset enough by the improvements we've made to our transport.
Yes,
so we need to do a lot more on transport.
Yeah, new cars are constantly like more efficient and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you say, they're just more. There's more as well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and so we need people to cut down, or we need to. So the government's trying to. I think the UK government's got a ban on new petrol and diesel cars by 2040, but that's like 20 years away. So it's like, well, we're going to ban the bad stuff in 20 years' time, and you're like. It's good to give them, like, the companies enough time to start making some changes, but
sure,
20
but
years seems like a too long amount of time to actually do anything.
Yeah.
So, I think the Scottish government said maybe 2032, roughly, and someone else's, I can't remember, it's a few places have said, like, 2030. So I think, like, certainly within the next kind of 5 to 10 years, we need to, like, ban new bad cars. Don't ban the bad cars.
Ban the bad cars.
Bring in the good cars.
Yes, please.
Does that answer your question about
it does.
Transport?
Yeah.
What would you do if you had a D?
I'd just have X-ray eyes and be able to breathe fire. I think that's what I'd go for. But yeah,
get in the next Avengers movie.
Yeah,
sounds good. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers, mate.
Having a chat. I'll see you around for an oat milk. Latte together.
Absolutely.
And then a barbecue that I'm not invited to. Afterwards.
Yeah, unfortunately, mate.
That's WhatsApp group in your house. Sounds great. Sounds great.
It's a hell of a place.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, move in.
I just speak to my neighbours, but there only is like three of them. And I mostly meet them because their doorbells don't, like, people don't know which doorbell to ring. So I answer a lot of doors. A lot of doors. Cool. Well, thank you very much. And,
cheers, mate.
Yeah, we'll get you back on at some point. That'd be great.
Lovely.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
Bye.
So that was Ben Clark. I had a lovely chat with Ben. It was really fun talking to him. I think Ben has one of the lowest scores so far on the podcast. I think maybe Josie Long has got an even lower carbon footprint. I need to actually do a proper update of the scoreboard. I'll try and do that next time. We're hopefully going to have one more episode out next week or so. And then I'm going to take a break for maybe about 5-6 weeks for the Edinburgh Festival, where I'm doing a show called Matt Winning. It's the end of the world as we know it. Please do come along or tell people that you think would like it that are going to be there. That would be super. I did meant to say, so the seasonal vegetable stuff that Ben and I talked about, you could check out a few different places. Basically, it seems to be lots of stuff in summer, a bit less stuff in winter, in terms of UK growing seasons. So you could go to the Veg Society, so it's vegsoc.org, and there's stuff on seasonal UK stuff there. Or another website was goodtoknow.co.uk, which had some stuff on the seasonal food calendar. Yeah, I need to try and get into this myself a bit and understand when everything kind of works. please do rate and subscribe for the podcast. It's been great doing these episodes, and it's been nice seeing the amount of people that are listening to it. Please spread the word. What else? Yeah, you can contact us. We're at Op Earth Pod on all social media. I think we have OperationEarth@gmail.com. If you want to contact us with any questions, I am at MattyWin85 on Twitter. Find me there. And I think that's about it. All that's left to say is the show was produced and edited by Emma Corsham. Yes. All the music was done by Daniel Drever, who I've known since I was a small boy when he moved to our school from Orkney. And my little brother used to make fun of him every day. I've known him for a long time. He's a very talented musician and composer. And all of the design was done by Chumchi Design, which was Richard Hanrahan, who also has a show at the Edinburgh Festival. If you want to check Richard out, that would be superb. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.